Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, he lay victorious, over sin, over death, over wrong, over us. Victorious, he lay victorious in your mind. This is God speaking to me. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what God's word says I have, and I can do what the scriptures say I can do. All right, so turn with me, if you would, to the book of Joel, if you will, turn there. If you have a Bible like mine, it's page 897, I think it is, but if you can't find it, that's okay, too. You can just trust that I'll read it accurately. The book of Joel. Chapter 2. Now, this is Pentecost Sunday, today is, which happens 50 days after Passover, and 2,000 years ago, there was a great happening on the Feast of Pentecost. The Jews were all gathered together there, and Jesus, after his death, burial, and resurrection, had commanded his hand-picked, hand-trained disciples and as many as would hear him. You know, after Jesus was raised from the dead, but before he ascended to heaven, was seen alive, the Bible says, by about 500 people. And so he's telling all of them, hey, hang out here in Jerusalem. That was his message. I promised the Holy Spirit. Jesus is so thrilled to tell his disciples and to tell people about the coming ministry of the Holy Spirit. And he said, now tarry here in Jerusalem. Don't leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit has been sent. You receive the wonderful empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Then you can go to your respective hometowns and so on. But you need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapters 12, 13, 14, back in there, 16. I need a tissue, Dennis, please. got it. He's Dennis, by the way. Thank you, Pastor Jan. You know you're him, right? and so Jesus was excited about the Holy Spirit's ministry, and so then they were there in the city of Jerusalem in the upper room, waiting 120 in one place and in one accord, and we're going to look at that in a moment, the initial sending of the Holy Spirit to empower the church. But in Joel's prophecy, the book of Joel, we see that over 800 years before the day of Pentecost that we just referred to, 800 years before Acts chapter 2, there was a prophet who was declaring what God was going to do. I did one of my doctoral dissertations on strategic planning, and I had one person respond in faith churches, and one person respond, it's a church, not a Burger King, that they were so frustrated that we would even talk about planning and thinking about ministry. And so I remember one person got really exasperated with me about strategic planning. And I said, well, do you have a school? And they thankfully happened to have a school. And I said, and it's several grades, and yes. And I said, well, do you use the same curriculum for the first graders as you do for the third graders or the fourth graders or the fifth graders? Well, of course not. So you have a curriculum established for each year of your school, your classes, of course. Well, then you believe in strategic planning, because that's what they can learn at that point. And so anyone, though, who plans dinner thousands of years in advance, you know we're going to have a great banquet one day. Anyone who plans dinner thousands of years in advance is a planner. And so God's got to thinking it through, and nothing catches him by surprise. So we can count on and trust in his ability to help us handle whatever we face. That's a good word for someone right there. God is not surprised by anything that is coming your way, and therefore we can have the confidence in, we have confidence in and can trust in his ability to help us sort it out. Well, Joel's prophecy in Joel chapter 2, We'll begin at verse 28. Just read a couple of verses here. So this great prophecy about a day coming 800 years later, Joel says, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters." Well, I thought ministry was just for men. See, aren't you glad you came today to learn that God's going to pour out his spirit on his sons and his daughters? Hello. I'm going to pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters, and they will prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Now, I'm getting to that place where I'm dreaming some dreams, but I used to see visions. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days I will pour out my spirit. And I'll show wonders in the heavens and the earth in blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord shall come. Well, the good news is no matter what happens, tough times come in, the Bible's very clear in the last days perilous times will come. But the good news is that there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon us, and where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And where there's ugly stuff, we just shine more brightly because light casts out darkness. And so we'll just be who we are, and that is we are light and we are salt. If we'll just be who we are, we don't have to worry about all that goes on around us. May I have an amen on that? Amen. All right, so that's Joel chapter 2, a great prophecy about a coming event. Turn with me now to the book of Acts chapter 2, and let's see that event that Joel talked about unfolding right here in the New Testament church, the church in which we live. The book of Acts is a record of how God activated and mobilized his people by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and we are a continuation. Now, I know that the Catholic Church is very important to them to have the papal succession and clear back to Peter, who they believe was the first pope, And so the succession goes on. Well, I have good news for you. All of us as believers are in succession of the book of Acts. This is the starting of the church that we're a part of. Are you all here? I said the book of Acts is the starting of the church, the empowering of the church that we are still today a part of. So when you see all the exciting stuff, man, the book of Acts was exciting. It's still exciting because that's still where we live. This is the same church. Are you with me?
Yes.
And so when you see believers activated and serving and great miracles happening, we are part of that same church. So it is so important for us to kind of stir ourselves and renew and refresh ourselves by the power of the Spirit and engage in ministry just like the believers did in the book of Acts. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues and as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews and devout men out of every nation under heaven, because they were gathered there for the feast of Pentecost. And it was noised abroad. The multitude came together, confounded, because they heard everyone speak in his own language, and they were all amazed and marveled. They said to one another, "Behold, are these not which speak Galileans? How do we hear every man speak in our tongue wherein we're born?" And others, verse 13, mocking, said, "They're full of new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea, all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. These are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's the third hour of the day." But verse 16, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Everyone say, "This is that."
This is that.
So when you see Acts chapter 2 unfolding, here they are, 120 believers, sitting in obedience to Jesus, gathered together, waiting in the upper room, and they're in one place and they're in one accord. They're there for one purpose, and that is Jesus said he's going to send the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Don't leave Jerusalem until we receive that empowerment. We're going to hang out here. We're going to wait here because Jesus told us to." We're excited about what Jesus was excited about. And he's excited not only about our following him, because that's how Jesus called people, "Hey, follow me." We're excited not only about following Jesus, but we're excited about looking like and acting like and ministering like Jesus did. And he said in order for us to do that, we're going to have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to wait right here. They're in one place. They're in one accord. They've got one mind about the issue. We're waiting here until we receive what Jesus promised us. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and then it begins in verse 1, the Holy Spirit was sent from heaven and empowered the church, and they spilled out, and the church was born. The church that we're a part of was born. We celebrated 34 years in February as Victory Christian Center, but we celebrate over 2,000 years of the church in the book of Acts because we are still that church. I said we're still that church. If we don't understand that and really... that doesn't resonate in our hearts that is the reality, we will miss out on all that God has for us. Okay, so Jesus empowered the church, and they thought, well, we don't know what's going on here, but Peter said, this is that. They all knew that prophecy. All those people that are gathered there for the Feast of Pentecost, they knew Joel's prophecy, that God's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And sons and daughters were going to prophesy. They knew that prophecy. And so Peter says, this is that. You remember the prophecy of Joel? Oh, yeah, they all shook their heads. This is that. Here it is. And so on this Sunday when we celebrate Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost and Pentecost Sunday, it is important for us to know kind of the roots of that and our heritage about that. Last week, real quickly, we talked about four areas of ministry. I'm going to recap because some of you weren't here. I noticed. And we talked about every believer having four areas of ministry. Every believer is called to ministry. Do you all understand that? I don't talk about this very often. Every one of us, if you have received Jesus, you have ministry. It could be a ministry of smiling at someone who looks a little frustrated. It can be a ministry of preparing your life to preach or proclaim the gospel. It could be ministry singing on the... I mean, all kinds of ministry. One of the areas I know that Dale assists churches is in a very practical area of accounting. And though he's a very capable herald of the gospel and a preacher... that he helps in some of those natural areas. So all of us can help and assist and further the gospel through our participation. We're all called to ministry. So last week we talked about four areas of ministry. How many of you remember that? How many of you were here? Okay, so number one, we have ministry inside the church. Ministry inside the church. And we asked the question, if you can't jot down on a piece of paper what's your ministry inside the church, you need to go ahead and decide that. Decide it today. In fact, we had some people after last week's messages who felt prompted and probably liberated to go ahead and get involved. And we had some people sign up, I believe, for help in the children's ministry, if I'm not mistaken. And so because you we need to be serving inside the church. Jesus, we have ministry to one another. Whether it's, and you can usher, you can greet, or you can be a part of the prayer team, or you can, whatever you want to do, but get connected and have a function here in the church. Number two, we talked about ministry from the inside out. And in the book of Acts chapter 8, Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ in Samaria, and they all heard the gospel that he preached and saw the miracles and the signs that this young evangelist did, and the whole city gave heed to the things, and they basically had a citywide revival in Samaria. And when the church at Jerusalem, who had sent Philip down there, they heard that the whole city of Samaria had received Christ, they sent down Peter and John, and they sent them down there to make sure all those new believers, and they'd all been water baptized, so they're believers, and they'd been water baptized, but they needed the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. This is about 10 years, Acts chapter 8 is about 10 years after Acts chapter 2. And so still important 10 years later to be full of the Holy Spirit, to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was still important. And Acts chapter 19, which is 20 years after the day of Pentecost, Paul went to Ephesus and found some disciples. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? Well, we're believers, but have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And he prayed for them, and they received as well. So the church at Jerusalem, again in Acts chapter 8, once they heard that Samaria had received Jesus And they'd all been water baptized. They've got a good Baptist church at Samaria now. First Baptist Church of Samaria. They sent down Peter and John to convert it to First Pentecostal Church at Samaria. And they went down there and prayed for them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Why is that so important on this day of Pentecost? Let me tell you, it's important because if we do not have the endowment of power that comes from the Holy Spirit's residency within us and his power upon us, we're not going to be able to do the ministry that all of us are called to. So ministry inside the church, ministry inside out. So here's the question. Are you available like Peter and John were available that we might send you down? We may have a call from the Methodist Church in Palm Desert hey, we've got someone here who is bound by demonic influences and we don't really know what to do. And we heard your church believes in that stuff. Could you send someone over here to bind the enemy in our precious Methodist church member's life and help us get them set free? And we may be calling you, hope you're ready, and say, hey, we need a team. We're going to send three people over there to pump. We need to send you out from so ministry from the inside out. Are you with me?
Amen.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready if we got a widow in the church who needs some help and her front porch fell off or something and you've got some skills, can we send you? Are you ready to be sent from the inside out? So we have ministry inside the church, but we are all called to be ready for ministry inside out, to be sent, activated, mobilized, and sent forth from the inside. Boy, that's good. I'll amen myself if I have to. I got a seat right there, and I'll just sit right down and amen myself. And I've done it, and you know I have. Number three, we all have ministry outside. Ministry outside. And I told you the little story about this waitress I had a couple of weeks ago, and she was just checking on her because I'm her pastor, not because she goes to this church. She's never been here, may never come here, but I'm still her pastor because the Lord said, don't pastor just your church, but pastor your city. And so she may even go to another church. I don't think she does, actually. So I was checking on her and asking about her husband, asking about her children, just checking on her, and she's working the closing shifts, and that's kind of difficult for the marriage. So we're just talking to her and ministering to her and loving her. And she said, I had a group of in here the other night. She said, they came in right at closing time, and they stayed an hour and a half. And she said, I was the only one here because at the end, they cut back on the staffing and so on. And 30 people came in. They all wanted separate checks. And I was the only server, and she was telling the story, and she said they got real upset with me because they all I took too long to bring their checks because I had to print 30 different checks, so they got angry with me. I said, "Oh, I'm so sorry," and she said, "Yeah, it was a church group." So right away, I wanted to find out who that church was so I could go help the pastor teach his people that we all have ministry outside the church, including at Red Robin Hamburger Stand. Hello? And so she said, I said, well, did they take care of you? Because she said, she said, no, they gave me nothing. 30 people, Christians, and left nothing. So as I mentioned last week, the Holy Spirit prompted me to give her $50. And so that church owes me. So if you figure out who it was, just have them send my 50 bucks over. I need it back. Oh, the Lord will get it back to me. But anyway, and why would I do that? Well, first of all, because the Holy Spirit prompted me. And secondly, because I have ministry outside the church to her. So we have ministry outside the church. So if you think your ministry is showing up for an hour and a half a week and that's your ministry, see, there's so much to learn. Jesus gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. He gave those ministry giftings and puts those on people so that those people can train the church and train believers for the work of the ministry. And so my job is not to do your job. My job is to train you to do your job. Well, and it's so fun when people say things like, Pastor, I think the church should fill in the blank. So I know right away the Lord's working on you. Because you're the church. And I say, go for it in Jesus' name. I think the church should get rides for people from the, you know, okay, good. You better run down to the auto dealership and get a bigger vehicle, because it's the Lord's put his hand on you, and he's stirring that desire and that awareness. And so get ready and start believing God now for more gas for your 15-passenger van that you're going to go buy and sell your boat. Can I make it real? I mean, because sometimes there's sacrifice involved when we do ministry. And but people, they just want to kind of flop that down at someone else's feet and say, well, I'll tell you, here's what the church needs to do. And they get all kind of wound up about it. Well, if the church needs to do it, get with it. Thank you for excitement today. God bless you. It is my job to step on your toes occasionally. Did you know that? All right. So we all have ministry outside. All have ministry inside. We have ministry inside, out. Let's say it together. Inside ministry.
Inside.
That's right here in the church, among your church family, and serving and singing and ushering and loving. And being here is part of that ministry, because your presence adds to the supply that is in this room. Are you with me? So being at church is part of inside ministry, but also find something else to do. Whether you come 10 minutes early and pray for the service, or pray for me, or it can be all kinds of things. It doesn't even have to have an official title to it, but find a place of ministry inside. Then inside out, are you available to be activated and mobilized and sent forth? Like we're going to send this afternoon of the SAM Club, the Senior Adult Ministry, we're going to send them. That's inside out ministry. Ministry outside, how are you doing in your ministry outside? The four walls of the building. Your ministry, as Jesus had ministry, I love so much of Jesus' ministry, was outside ministry. He came to the temple, he taught in the temple, he did that, but he also ministered to people from all walks of life outside, in the dusty streets, at the Starbucks of life, called the woman at the well. I can work this stuff in. Today he'd be at Starbucks. And then finally we have ministry outside in. And that is that we've been commissioned by Jesus and empowered by the Holy Spirit to go outside and compel people to come. And so to bring them and to invite them. So I was yesterday at the storage unit, and I met the manager of the storage unit, and her name is Yvette. And I said, well, Yvette, I hope you'll come to church tomorrow. She said, what church? So I explained it to her. She said, you know what? I hate you for asking me to come to church. Oh, no, that's not how she said it. She said, you know what? I've been looking for a church home. I said, well, where have you been? She said, I've been here. And she named off four or five churches. I said, those are good churches. And she said, yeah, but I haven't found my church home yet. And I said, do you have children? Yes. And my sister lives with me, and she has children. So Yvette's not in here, is she? Okay. So she's coming at 11, because she told me she would come. So I told her about our children's ministry and for the kids. And I told her they had a very handsome speaker this morning. Yeah. She would enjoy. Why? Because I have ministry outside in. You and I have ministry outside in. And so important. I don't know how many people you invited this past week, and I know it was several, but I'm confident because you're a hearer and a doer of the word, and you heard last week that we have ministry outside in, so they'll probably come in the next week or two, but I'm sure you invited many, and amen. Okay, so today, I want to talk to you. I've got 5 points, because that was all recap, so I'll make this real quick. Are you ready?
Yes.
If you're a note taker. We must be motivated in our ministry by different things that can stir us and compel us to do our ministry inside, inside out, outside and outside in. What motivates us? Because as we mentioned last week, the importance of the walk of a believer is being who we are. And sometimes we think, especially when we preach a message like inside and inside out and outside and outside in, we think about doing. What can I do? Now, being who we are normally results in doing something. But I want you to get again, and if you were not here last week, this will be for the first time. It is important that we be who we are. So when I was at the storage facility, I wasn't thinking, now what can I do? What can I do? I was just being who I am. And who I am is an inviter of people. It's who you are too. But you may not be have not been awakened to that yet, but it's who you are. Ministry outside is who you are. Now, if you get a cantankerous waitress, if you're not renewed to this whole thinking, you might get a little surly back. What's your problem, sister girl? Instead of changing the atmosphere by the compassion and love of Jesus. See, so who we are and how we act sometimes, there's a disconnect between how that is. But so if we'll focus on being who we are, wherever we are, and then it will result in doing the right thing. Are you here?
Yes.
And so don't try to do ministry, but be who you are as a minister.
Yes. Good.
What trying to do looks like is Donald Trump quoting a verse of scripture and saying 2 Corinthians.
Yeah.
That's trying to do something. It's not, he wasn't being, it wasn't a being thing. Are you with me? And whatever you feel about Donald Trump, that was a funky moment. Or he brought his baptism certificate to the podium or whatever, you know. That's doing. Are you with me?
Yeah.
This being thing is really a big deal. Because ministry then flows so much more naturally. And it's easier for people to receive when we're just being who we are. Right, and that's sometimes it's so painful to watch for me because I love to observe people to watch Christians try to do ministry rather than to be a minister.
Amen.
Okay, here we go. 5 points. Yes, we gotta move on here. Man, this is good. Activated by, motivated by, compelled by. Number one, the word. You don't have to turn there, but let me just read quickly to you. From Matthew's gospel. And we all know that James says, if we hear the word and we don't do the word, we deceive ourselves. In Matthew 7, Jesus talking about building on the solid ground, but he says in verse 24, therefore, whosoever hears my sayings and does them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And so we're on solid ground when we are compelled by the word. What does the Bible tell us to do? Well, it tells us to love people. It tells, you know, all kinds of things in the Bible, to pray for the sick. It tells us, and so we've got so much that the Lord has told us to do as believers in our respective areas of ministry, and we really have to come to the place where we say, okay, Lord, what's your word say? I want to be about that. What did you tell me in the Bible to do? And let me just let that motivate me, even if no one's asking me, if no one's giving me a certificate at church, if no one's patting me on the back, if no one even sees it, man, that'd be a bummer if no one sees how wonderful I am. I'm just going to do it because your word says to. Number two, we must be motivated by the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8:14, if you're a note taker, it says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so it is important for us to be led by the Holy Spirit. Certainly, we're always generally led by the Word of God, but then we're specifically led by the Holy Spirit. In my involvement of the Sheriff's Department, they have a whole book full of what are called the general orders. And if you're a military person, I was not in the military. But my way of serving was by the past 26 years. Serving in the sheriff's department as a chaplain, as a reserve deputy. And so we have general orders. And so the general orders are like the word. It just kind of covers everything generally. But then a specific order can be given, you know, go out and stop the traffic at, well, let's see where they've been stopping the traffic. Usually on Ramon Road somewhere. I think that's a general order, just stop traffic at arbitrarily on Ramon Road when Pastor Walker's driving that way,
yeah.
Seems like. But a specific order is that's more like the Holy Spirit's guiding us to, it would always be in keeping with the general orders It would always be in keeping with the Word because the Holy Spirit's not going to violate the Word, but the Holy Spirit will sometimes give a specific direction for a specific person or a specific situation. Are you with me? And so Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness, and he came out empowered. We know that the enemy tempted him and so on, but he came out powered up and full of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit led Jesus to the woman at the well. The Holy Spirit, so Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be motivated and activated by the Word and by the specific guidance of the Holy Spirit. Number three, we must be motivated and compelled by compassion. And 21 times there are references to Jesus being directly or indirectly being motivated by compassion. And Matthew 14:14. If you're a note taker, I'll just read this to you real quickly. Matthew 14:14 says that Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And so Jesus ministering to sick people, it was because he was moved and compelled and motivated and activated by compassion. So as you and I engage in ministry inside, inside out, outside and outside in, we must be activated and compelled and moved by and energy generated from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit's direction and from compassion and the love that God has placed in our hearts. Romans 5 says that the love of God is in our hearts from the Holy Spirit. And there's a love inside of you. I don't know, sometimes people have life experiences that are such that they have a more difficult time letting love that is in them out. But let me just encourage you to take that step. And even if there are wounds and injuries and pain, the Lord wants to heal those. But allow that love to override even your own self-doubt or your own intimidation or your fear of failure or fear of rejection or fear of success or whatever kind of thing would hold you back from allowing that ministry to come forth out of you in obedience to the Word, in obedience to the Holy Spirit, in obedience to compassion. Just let him love and touch through you. Number four, we can be motivated by our gifting. Turn with me to Romans 12. We have some time here for just another moment or two. Romans chapter 12. And turn with me to this passage, if you would. In Romans 12, let's begin at verse 4. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. This is very similar to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So important to know that we're in this together. We're in this together. We're on this journey together. Are you with me? And we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. Let me give this illustration. And I've used this before, in fact, a couple of years ago, and Dan quoted it at the men's event last week. But when we come to church, for the most part, we come together not only to receive and to be blessed, but we come together to get ready for another week of ministry. It's sort of like in a football game, we come together, we huddle. Let's get together. Let's encourage one another. We can do it. Greater is he. We can, you know how they do in a huddle. They're kind of barking at one another in an encouraging way. And kind of like the duck that quacks, the quacks the encouragement from behind. Man, you can do it. But we come together and we get in a huddle. We say, okay, now we're going to leave here and we're going to go out into our respective areas of ministry. We're going to play our position. We're going to do our part. But if we just came together and we never broke the huddle, we just kind of stayed in the huddle, that would be boring, wouldn't it? I mean, if you're watching that on TV, I can't wait for a football game. Let's be honest, we're all thinking this. Let's get baseball over. Whatever. Get some football up in here. So it wouldn't be very exciting if they just stayed in the huddle the whole time. No, plays were called or executed and the ball didn't get, no touchdowns, no points scored, that would be a drag. Kind of like how we do church. Let's huddle. Okay, we'll be back next week for the huddle. No, we need to, all of us now qualify for the team. We've all made the team. And we all have position. And how do we find our position? I guess that's the, how do we get in the play? Because we all need to be in the game and not on the sidelines and not in the stands being spectators. A lot of believers want to spectate. Oh, I want to come and see how so-and-so does it or what so-and-so has to say. Rather than seeing ourselves as participants in the game and on the team, we want to be spectators or sideline sitters. And so sometimes there will be times when we kind of sit on the sideline and get refreshed or the defense is in and we're part of the offense. And so I get that. But each of us have something that we are counted on by in heaven in terms of participation. So we all are part of the team, and we all have a different position on the team. So that's what he's saying here. We're one body, but we have different parts, different members of the body. Having then gifts differing, verse 6, according to the grace that is given to us. Turn to your neighbor and say, gifts differing, gifts differing, gifts differing, gifts differing, gifts differing. So your gift is different from mine. My gift is different from yours. And then look kind of across the room at someone you want to say this for a long time anyway and say, your gift is different. Say it like that. Kind of say it like that. They won't, just kind of look in their direction. They won't know it's. Having then gifts differing, according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, one translation says serving, ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorts on exhortation. The person who has that gift of giving, we're all called to give, but there are people who have a gift of giving. Every believer is called to be a giver, but some among us have the gift of giving. Do that with simplicity. He that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness, and let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. So sometimes our gifting will be the motivator. Your gift makes room for you, the Bible says. Now, it was an ancient custom if you came before someone who was great, a king or so on. That's why they brought Jesus gold and frankincense and myrrh. Because that culture said your gift makes room. We still practice it here sometimes, and you go to a dinner party and you would bring something to the dinner party or bring wine to the thing or whatever, that bringing a gift. In an ancient culture, it was the more significant the person and the greater honor that you wanted to bestow, the greater the gift you would bring. And your gift would make room for you and bring you before great men. Well, I believe that our gift that God has placed upon us will make room for us and bring us before the right people. We used to have a woman in our church, precious woman, Connie, and she's involved in a ministry in India now. We bless her, and she's wonderful. I see her sometimes, and she's just wonderful. Her name is Connie, and she was the housekeeper for President Ford. And when it came to the end of his life, she had worked for them for years, and she told his story. She's the housekeeper, but she has a gift. And her housekeeping gift, or that serving gift, had made room for her at the Ford home. And so she operated in that gift. It was an excellent gift. She was a wonderful housekeeper. She's a wonderful woman. She knows how to conduct herself and just a beautiful woman of God. And when President Ford was about to transition, Mrs. Ford said to her, Connie, why don't you go in and spend some time with the president and just, you know, pray for him or whatever you want to do. And she was able to go in at those, and people lined up to see him, you know. But these were the last, I think, the last probably days or hours. And she got to go in. Her gift made room for her. Wow. Well, Pastor Jeff, I could never be brought before great people because I'm just a housekeeper. See how deceived we are?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
How we limit ourselves and limit God. And that's sad, isn't it? Isn't that sad? Well, she didn't limit herself. She just went right on in there and spent time with the president. And there's the housekeeper ministering to the president, the former president of the United States, as he transitions from this life to the, it doesn't get any more prime than that. Your gift will make room. Be motivated by your gift. And then finally, let's just be honest, the need. Sometimes we may not feel led, you know, anything specifically led or not even any compassion about it or passionate about it or my gift doesn't, but there's just a need. And so I'll be there. We're going to have a work day. Well, I don't really like work days, but I'm going to be there because there's a need. We need to paint. I oiled these doors over here last time, and I don't have a gift of oiling doors, but there was a need. I have one tool. It's a hammer. If it can't be fixed with a hammer, don't call me. Don't call me. I'm a one-tool person. I have found that you can fix anything once with a hammer. Just a one fix, and then... Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, even if you don't feel a calling or a gifting or anything supernatural about it, they're just someone makes you aware of the need, and you just feel prompted, I want to help, I want to participate. Do it heartily as unto the Lord, Colossians says. But the bottom line is, on this Pentecost Sunday, the Holy Spirit was sent so that sons and daughters, men and women, old and young, are all qualified to be on the team and to participate in what God wants to do in this church, through this church, in this valley. Let's all be participants in His great work.
Amen.
It's harvest time.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org and for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health, just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.